Welcome to Dating Log, the podcast that records the ups and downs of dating in your 30s and beyond. This is episode 15, Rose the Matchmaker. Many people find the world of modern dating difficult to navigate. You have hundreds of apps with millions of available people, unwritten rules around profiles and how to communicate, all with the constant risk of facing rejection and ghosting. Step in, the matchmakers. Rose is a matchmaker based in the Netherlands and specializes in taking the dating process offline. We hear how she got into matchmaking, who are the types of people that use a matchmaking service, and how going back to doing things in a simple and less digital way can yield great results for singles. A quick plug, season 2 of Dating Log is coming very soon with more people, more dates, and more stories from all over the world. Now, over to Rose to provide a window into the world of a matchmaker.
Hi, my name is Rose. I'm Rose is Offline, and this is the name of the business I run, which is a matchmaking platform, but it's purely focused on offline. And well, because I think love is not digital. This is my payoff, which I started around 3 years ago, because I heard many people talking when I was working in advertising about their online experiences, and I thought, well, this is really interesting information, and I thought I can do something with it. And also because I'm like the generation, I'm 41 right now. So when the platforms like Hive started or Facebook, I was like, oh my God, I don't like it, you know, to show a lot of personal stuff online. And like people are portraying, you know, always the best and of themselves. And well, it's not a real thing to show, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, the happy, 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 good life, which is life is not always happy and good. So I thought, you know, I dislike this platforms, and I don't know why, and also the social media and things like that, people getting attached to their phones more and more often. And the way of communication also changed a lot because of using our phones and laptops all the time. So I thought I really prefer offline life, and even because also if you want to meet, if you meet somebody, you want to know how they look in your eyes, you want to hear their, of course, how are they talking, their voice, their non-verbal language, which is very important to like somebody. So I thought, okay, well, enough swiping. Let's start the offline community.
So you were working, let's say, in advertising with is that correct?
Yes.
With a bunch of people who were all dating on the apps and feeling frustrated and fatigued and tired. And you thought, hey, let's take this offline. Let's do something different.
Yes, exactly.
That's how you landed there? Okay. And had you ever done any sort of, you know, given like dating advice or been a matchmaker for your friends? Like why did you decide to pick this up?
I decided to pick it up because at one point this colleague of mine told me, like, he was dating 3 girls in one day. So it was really sharp. You know, after...
Wow.
Like, and then after the 3rd date, he told me, are you still in town? And I was like, no way, I'm not coming to visit you or anything. This was such a weird behavior. So, but this is my inspiration for the offline matchmaking business. And I, well, in the past, I matched my one of my friends, and now she's married with 3 children, which was really nice. But the thing is, you cannot learn it, of course. It's a way of knowing people, you know, talk a lot to a lot of people. I used to work with many different types of people, like art directors, copywriters, but mainly my client. I used to be an account manager.
And are you doing matchmaking full time?
No, I do it part time. Because I still think my if I look at other companies who run a matchmaking business, they ask like a lot of money for the matchmaking, and my budget is still quite low because I also like to get people who have, you know, who cannot spend a lot of money. So I also work right now, which is one of the best things to do for really for my friends in a hotel behind the concert building here in Amsterdam. I'm not very like a Horeca person, but it changed, you know, because no, I made the decision to only work with very, very nice people, to surround me with beautiful people.
So you have people coming to you. What does this process look like? I mean, they come to you because they want to be matched. So what kind of people are coming to you, and why, and what kind of state are they in when they arrive, let's say, in that first conversation with you?
Well, I always meet people in the park. So outside. I live in Amsterdam on West Side, so I always meet them most of the time in the Rembrandt Park, which is super nice because it's open air, you know, sun is shining or sometimes it's raining. And then we talk a little bit, we laugh, you immediately see, you know, you meet somebody, you say, okay, super cool, you're here. And then you just start to really relax the conversation, you know. And I was thinking, this is the best way to do it, because of the to walk. It's very important because you don't have immediately physical or no face-to-face interaction. You just walk forward, you know. I don't look you in the eyes all the time, because that's a super different situation, like an interview situation, you know. You can see my expression immediately. Also nature, wind, the smell of the grass, it helps to relax people. And then we start talking about, which I find very, very interesting, to talk about the youth. Where were you born? How are your parents? You have brothers and sisters. Are your parents still married? So what happened in your life? What you know, it's very, very important. That's the base. Your childhood is mainly the base of your character and vulnerabilities, which you develop when you grow older. And everybody has their insecurities, which is wonderful, you know. People tell me sometimes, the other time, this lady, she started crying, you know, at one point. Because, well, her childhood was really quite heavy. And, yeah, people share within quite, not such a long time, they share very personal stories. And I find that beautiful, because I'm just very, very super relaxed and kind. And if they want a coffee, we drink a coffee, or we get a takeaway. Don't want to sit in a bar or anything, just to relax. But for singles, it's quite something, because you have to talk. We talk like 1 hour, and some most of the time also 1.5 hour. Yeah, it depends on their life story, and also if we have fun, you know. A lot of fun. That's the most important thing.
So when you first meet someone, you're just walking and you're getting to know them as a person, where they come from and who they are. Yet they are coming to you as a matchmaker. So in this first conversation, do you then immediately dive into what they're looking for and why they're there? Or is that not part of your first meet and greet with someone?
I don't really ask questions like, what are you looking for? I try really to get to know the person. So how they act. I don't ask like, what are your hobbies? I ask like, okay, what if you have 3 days in your agenda are completely off. So you don't have anything to do. What do you love? What do you love to do? What do you really enjoy doing, for example? You know, so do you, and I talk about culture, things, about maybe they like to read books or also politics. Do they have pets? It's also quite interesting. But we also talk about, do you like cooking a lot? Are you, do you drink? Do you smoke? Do you use drugs? Also quite interesting on how somebody's lifestyle is. And then I really, I'm just feeling to get the character of somebody. Some people are quite introvert, and sometimes I ask them, do you feel you're a bit introvert, or do you prefer in the other? Do you like more extrovert person? But it's just a feeling of knowing people. That's what I you cannot do it the other way.
We had one of our guests, he said something similar that, you know, the first time you're meeting someone, he feels it's more about feeling out the situation than having a conversation, that you could just do something together to get a feel of how the other person is. And that sounds like what you're also doing on a first meet with someone.
Yeah, well, just a feeling of how somebody acts, you know that by instant. Some people are really, really super talkative and laughing and humor and, you know, which is nice. But other people are, just a little bit more vulnerable, you know, and then you have to really relax them and then you really get to know them. And also, they talk a lot about their vulnerabilities. It's really important, and it's no shame to, you know, I always say like they're normal people don't exist.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And that's what makes dating and probably matchmaking also kind of fun. So after your first conversation with someone, what happens next?
I tape our conversation. So when we are walking, so then I will get home and I write it down. And then just very offline, I also take a photo. What is it, take or make a picture?
Take a photo.
I always mistake with that. So I take a photo with my Polaroid, and then I will, there's in here where I live, I have a little office space, so the photo will be on the board. I'm a very visual person. So I just have everybody on a big board, and I write down all our conversations and what I felt with the person, which is very important. And then after that, I tell people all the time, it's quite a long-term process. I'm not going to match like instantly, because I really want to create, I really have to feel the match. Also for myself, I think it's very important. So then I also say I match within my own offline database. So I meet everybody, which takes a lot of time, but I think it's just very important for the quality. I meet everybody. So then I, after that, I will create a blind, if I see a match, I create a blind date. I organize the blind date. So there will be no contact details exchanged or because otherwise you will start Googling, of course. The photos will be exchanged. So then I'm within the messaging service, you know, within the app service. I just tell them, okay, please, I'm going to match to this person. I tell a little bit about them. And then after that, I will say, okay, please write the person what you like to do, a date, when and where. And I forward a message. So I constantly I'm in between communication. And then they start to, they meet each other. And of course, after the match, I talk to them. So like, how did you like it? You know, what happened? La, 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 la. So I also take care after I created the match. So we still be in, you know, I'm the contact person. And sometimes they switch phone numbers and then I leave them to it. That's it. Very, very simple.
It sounds so simple, but you are taking a lot of time up front to get to know people and to really wait for a good match to come up for them. How long is the average wait with between finding a match for someone?
Well, the thing is, because I mainly work in Amsterdam, and nowadays, like, also Rotterdam joined. So this there's a lady walking for me in Rotterdam. If there are singles over there, yeah, which is it's really cool. But the thing is, because it's Randstad, eh?
Mm-hmm.
How do you say?
Yeah, the greater metropolitan area, let's say.
Yeah, the greater metro. It's also like New York. I think because the different, the, like how many, there are lots of single women within creative big cities or within the Randstad area. So I got like a percentage of, let's say, 60% women and 40% men. So I also tell the ladies, and especially within the age range of 50 and 40, there are a lot of ladies. So then it's a bit more difficult for me to find the right, you know, to find the guys. So if you listen to this podcast, please come and join the offline community. So yeah, it depends on who the person is also, you know. If I start, sometimes, yeah, it's a bit more difficult, you know, and I'm very honest to the person, and I tell them myself this story, like, please take in mind that there are less men in my database, so it's going to take a longer time for you.
And are you only working with, or mainly working with heterosexual people then?
Mainly, yes. Yes, but also some gay people.
And what, I heard you mention 40s and 50s, but what is, let's say, the average age of someone who's coming to you?
Average 30 to 40 years old and 50.
Interesting. Yeah.
But the youngest I can tell you is so sweet. He's 19 years old.
Really?
Youngest.
What? 19, yeah. And already going for a matchmaker?
Yes.
That seems so mature.
Because they have really bad online experience. You know, a lot of trolls or people tell me the most outrageous things. Like, oh my god, this was fake, and then they want to go meet up, and then somebody cancels the appointment. Well, yeah, it's interesting. Well, 19, and the oldest one is 82.
Wow.
I try really to find a lovely mate for her. You know, just a friend. She's not really looking for, she wants a relationship, but yeah, friend relationship, you know?
What does success look like for you and for your clients?
Yeah, of course, if they're really happy together and if they tell me, Rose, you really did a good match. But at one point, yeah, they both told me that. And then they met twice or three times. I don't know exactly. But then at the end, the lady, she didn't want anymore. Or she left him, which was super pity. So then, if it's success or not, I'm just really happy to hear back from people that they really enjoyed their meeting or their date. You know, that's success for me. And I'm not really thinking about success and results and things like that.
Once you've matched people and they're going on their first blind date, is there any sort of advice or coaching that you give them, or are you purely matching them based on your feeling?
Yes, I do that purely on my feeling. I was thinking about somebody asked me for real to give like dating advice or direction, coaching. And then I thought, okay, I'm not going to do that. Because I also...
Why not?
Yeah, because I think coaching, you have to take it seriously. It's also a process. You have to really, maybe not study for it, but you really... It's a profession, of course. I think you really, the way how you talk to people, the techniques, properly, it's very important because if you are very vulnerable, you can say a lot of things, but you have to really be careful about what and how you say it. That's what I believe. So I was thinking, okay, well, no, if you really want a coach, there are 1,000 coaches nowadays for everything. Yes, I thought, okay, this is also, matchmaking is one thing and coaching is another thing. So I was thinking about it, but I decided not to do it because of that reason.
I did want to ask, have you had any absolute matchmaking disasters where you match two people and they both were like, oh my god, no, get me out of here?
Well, there was one one match I created, and then she called me back. She was like, the guy was drinking like 0.5 liters of beer, because before I walked in he already drank probably I don't know how much beer. And then she was like, yeah, but Rose, he was also a bit shorter than me. And I was like, huh? I write it always down. I record, you know, at the end we talk about the physical part, what you like physically in a partner. And then I also say, okay, you're around 180, is it true? Yeah, okay. But anyways, she was like, but I cannot, it's really hard for me. So to of course, I cannot, I don't know how somebody really behaves on a first date. If he drinks a lot, yeah, I cannot, well, I did not know. So yeah, well, that was for her like, okay, this is really bad. But this, I don't know that these things can happen, of course.
Yeah, you're not always, when you meet people, you're going for a walk in the park. You're not sitting down at drinks or dinner or...
No. But he of course, he told me, like, okay, I like to drink. I like to drink. Okay, he was also a smoker, but she also smoked. So I thought, okay, this is good. Both were born in Amsterdam, which also makes a nice connection sometimes. You know, about really Bourgondic, I really like them together. That was my point of view. But if somebody behaves, and it's because of their, probably he was a bit afraid or vulnerable, you know, a date is like a date. It's like, first impression. How do you say? Like he was a bit, maybe a bit stressed. That's why he started drinking so well. And then, I talked to her a long time about it. Yeah, things like that can happen. But okay, we will. we'll look. We'll search somebody else for her. Very lovely person. But on all the assets they both liked, and the type of person, I thought, okay, that can be a nice match.
Yeah, we had a lot of guests allude to the fact that dating can give them anxiety, and that going for a drink for a lot of people is an okay first date because it helps to relax them. What kind of first dates do you set people up in? Because when you meet someone for the matchmaking purpose, you're going for a walk in the park because you say it's more about feeling. But when you're setting people up on a blind date, what sort of activities are they doing? Is it more based on feeling, or is it actually sitting across from each other, eye to eye, having a conversation?
No, I purely let them decide themselves what they like to do. If they want my advice for some nice restaurant or, I don't know, bar or whatever, or theater in Amsterdam, I can advise them. But mainly everybody, you know, thinks about, okay, I like to meet here. But also I should suggest, so I also talked to this guy who was drinking a lot of beer. I talked to him. I said, okay, next time you should really, I try to say it very, you know, also in a positive way of giving feedback to somebody. But I told him, maybe next time if you feel anxiety or whatever, it's better to just walk with somebody. So you don't sit across somebody's face, you know, sit across a table. It's quite some, you know, when you like a job interview. I hate it when three people sit in front of me, man. It's so... You know, I used to have those experiences. And then I'm going to ask you, what do you want to do for the rest of your... where do you want to be in 5 years? Questions like that. You should avoid like this type of interview settings when you feel a bit, you know, when you feel a bit stressed. Also, the pianist, the guitar player, he also told me he was shaking on his legs. He is 50 years old. Yeah, before he got to meet, you know, his first match, it was like, gross. I was so nervous. So now I'm actually, but he was meeting her up in a bar. So now actually I also would recommend him for the second date to just go have a walk with the lady, you know, because I know for sure she finds it also difficult. Yeah, she's very, I felt with her, quite a bit insecure. But also because she hasn't been dated, she's alone for like a long time already, probably like 8 years. So when you go on a first date again, when you go on your first date, you're like, whoo, you never know what to expect. And it's for a purpose, you know?
I was going to say, I think... I've talked to some of my guests who, you know, think of dating as a kind of a sport. Like, it's something you need to practice to get better at. And it's going to be different with everyone. It's, you know, if we're doing sports analogies, every time you play on a different field, you have a different surrounding, you have a different opponent, let's say. There's different weather, there's different circumstances. So you really need to figure out how you can be the most, like, flexible and adaptable to any sort of situation.
And is it like a sport, you mean like the quantity of dates they have nowadays?
Just going on different dates. Yeah, I guess, yeah, doing more, like more dates with more different people. I mean, there's so many choices available as well, I think, which is, yeah, something else that...
Yeah, this is a very interesting topic because the dating scene seriously changed over the years, because for example my parents, when you lived, you know, like if you live in a village, you if you used to grow up in a small village, no internet, you know, you have three potential partners you can choose from. Nowadays you just open I don't know how many dating apps there are. You have like 6,000 people to choose from. So people are like constantly swiping. Maybe this person, I go on a date with this person, but maybe I go next week on a date with that person. And then, you know, the quantity is like, so people don't have really a lot of time nowadays, that's my feeling, to get really to know the other person. They don't take so much time as you used to, because if you meet somebody at the first time, it's like first interaction. But then most of the time, you need like a half a year, not even, maybe longer, 1 year, to get to really know somebody. And then the love will start growing, you know. Somebody, you fancy somebody, the person will be more and more interesting over the months. That's how I feel. You really start to love somebody. And you should, I think like nowadays people don't take time anymore. It's shocking for me to see the way of communication. People are walking with their phones constantly behind the screen. They don't look at you anymore. They don't talk to you anymore because their headphones on and they're cycling in the city.
I want to get your take. What do you notice as far as other trends in the dating industry?
Well, what I hear back from singles is that there's also a lot of bad energy online, like the way people treat each other. For example, ghosting. Like you have a conversation and somebody, if somebody's, then at one point somebody's interested in you because he or she, you know, they like to talk, or they like to, I don't know what, and you don't know who you're talking to at that moment actually. And then if they're not interested, or they have something else to do, they switch over and they just completely dump the other person. Just, they're a ghost. Suddenly they're gone because their interest is gone. And they found somebody else online. I don't know what. These things.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's also something I think almost all of our guests mentioned. I didn't always make the episode, but everyone has dealt with it.
It's a very bad way of treating one to the other, because it's painful for a lot of people.
Do you have any advice or words of wisdom that you'd like to leave our listeners with in terms of dating and matchmaking? What's the advice you give your friends when they ask?
Well, just enjoy life. And also within the dating or meeting, go to the theater, enjoy what you love to do, go for a walk, do the gym if you like to do a lot of sports. Just really enjoy your life, but do it. Yeah, I think offline is the best. And I believe in the offline movement, because people are fed up with talking to Chat GPT things. It's getting worse and worse. And also these huge companies, they really get a lot of advantage of your personal data, exactly. Also the dating apps, be careful what you put online. Don't put your life online. Why should you?
Dating Log is recorded and hosted by Wyndham Juno. It is produced by me, Harry Dark, and our artwork is in collaboration with Esme Hemming Studio. Big thank you to today's guest, Rosemarine Kaiser. You can find out more about her service at roseisoffline.nl. That's R-O-O-S isoffline.nl. You can follow us on Instagram at Dating Log Podcast. You can email us at datinglogpodcast@gmail.com. Any feedback, recommendations, people who you think might want to be on the show, hit us up. Please like, subscribe, review wherever you listen. We'll be back with season 2 kicking off next month. In the meantime, please don't ghost us.